Well, it is a great joy, a great privilege, a great honor, a delight to welcome our preacher for this morning. It's our dear friend, the Reverend Erin Clifford, who comes to us from the D.C. area. She is a teaching pastor at Holy Trinity Church in McLean, Virginia. She is also the director at at the Center for Spiritual and Missional Formation at Fuller Seminary. And she is here in town as part of the Ridley Institute's program there at St. Andrew's Church. She'll be doing some teaching there later in the week. Next weekend, I think it is, and teaching on her research on perseverance, resilience in suffering. And you can join her for that via Zoom or in person. I think it's only about $15 to participate in that. So she may speak more about that during her remarks. But we are blessed and honored to have Erin with us. Erin, welcome.
Good morning, church. It's always a joy to be with you. It's always a joy to be back in Charleston. As you know, we've been having a bit of snow and ice in the D.C. area up north, so this feels a bit tropical for me, you know, 50 degrees. So it's wonderful. Thank you for the warm welcome, Charleston. Here we are on this Sunday in Lent, and for many, this is a reminder of a year ago where we were. That we, for many churches, this was their last service in person, was this first Sunday in Lent. So I feel like people are feeling that anniversary all over the country, and I want us to just take a minute. Just take a deep breath. Take a minute and just check in with the state of your heart this morning, with the state of your soul. Your center, your will towards God. Your heart was the center of your will as well, as the New Testament talks about. So how is that state right now? Do you approach this Sunday having experienced loss this week, being reminded of the losses of the year? Or perhaps you approach this one-year anniversary of this pandemic and you are rejoicing over the health of your family or over finding a new job. You may be coming in all sorts of states to this time together as a church. I think the psalmist this morning in Psalm 25 has some encouragement for us about what it looks like to walk through this season well, to walk through Lent and the wilderness well. So as we looked at that psalm this morning, the first thing to note is that it's an acrostic poem. So we don't read it in the Hebrew, so we don't catch that, but it's actually an acrostic poem. It goes in the order of, each line starts with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it's written very beautifully in that way. Your ways, Yahweh, declare them to me, the psalmist says. The path of you, teach it to me. And this psalm also expresses waiting. Many psalms express waiting. For you, the psalmist says, I will wait all the day. Can we say that in our own hearts this morning? For you, God, I will wait all the day. What does it look like to wait well, especially in a wilderness season, especially in a time of maybe what you feel might be humility or stripping of some of the things that you love in this Lenten season? Many psalms express waiting when God's sovereignty will again be clear and his purposes known, and in a sense, we're all in a time of waiting. As humanity, we wait for Jesus' return. As the people of God, we wait for eternity to be made whole, to find shalom again in the presence of God. What are you waiting for this morning? What are you waiting for? Some of us wait well, and some of us are more anxious waiters, right? So you might know this by being in the grocery line, being in the line at the grocery store. And some of us are kind of looking around, you know, competitively to the other lines to see which one is shorter. And, you know, flogging ourselves for having not gotten in the right line, if only we'd gotten in that line, and, you know, standing antsily in the line. And others reach for a magazine, or maybe turn on a podcast, or find other ways to wait. But we all have trouble waiting. It's part of human nature. We want to get on with it. But as the psalmist will tell us, and I think As the many clouds of witnesses who've gone before us in the faith will tell us, waiting has a purpose. God is teaching us something in the waiting. Even Jesus went into the wilderness after his presentation to the people before his ministry. There was a waiting, there was a preparation period that God was doing. Waiting, too, is a legitimate season in and of itself. Although often we think of it like a station on a train track that we just want to get through as fast as we can. And actually, a season of waiting is, I think, often an invitation from God to sit under a tree, to grab a blanket and a picnic and sit and be in that season with God and watch and see what God will do. Waiting means twisting and stretching, actually, in the Hebrew, this idea of waiting. It's not a pleasant experience. That's true for everyone, even the biblical writers. And yet they waited and they trusted on God. And in the waiting, they did two things. First, they praised. They praised God. There's a difference between lamentation and lament. Many of you may have been experiencing lament this year as plans that you'd had that you wished had happened hadn't happened. Or maybe even as you wait, you thought, 2021, this is when this thing is going to happen, and you see it sort of slowly disappearing into the distance. Lamentation in Scripture is when something has happened and we're grieving an event, something that's irreversible. But lament is when we cry out to God because we know God can still intervene. And we ask God, help, Lord. And that's what the psalmist is doing here. Help, Lord, I'm in the midst of a difficult season. Would you come, Lord? Would you make a difference? There's a confidence that God is faithful, expecting that God will change, that God will come after this waiting season. And I want to encourage you this morning, if that's where you are, if you're in a season of lament, of crying out to God, not to pretend that you're not. I think sometimes as believers, we feel like we need to walk around with smiling faces and it's all fine and everything's fine. But God knows the state of our hearts. God knows that it's a pilgrimage. Wasn't that a beautiful hymn that we heard this morning? Thank you to the choir for that gorgeous hymn. And the words of it, you know, inviting us to remember that this is a pilgrimage and sometimes the road's going to get rough. But we end with this idea of trusting in God in the midst of all of it. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Do I lift up my soul? And that expression in the Hebrew for soul is actually throat. So it's praise. The psalmist is saying, to thee, O Lord, I lift up my praise. In this waiting season, the psalmist is choosing praise. Not praise that pretends that nothing is wrong, but it's a posture that we choose. We choose to wait actively in a posture of saying, God, I'm crying out to you. I lift up my soul. I lift up my throat, my voice to you. And then the psalmist also waits, believing in God's goodness. God hasn't gone anywhere, even in the waiting. Sometimes we may feel like we're in the waiting room of God, and God's over there busy with someone else, like in the doctor's office, you know, when you end up waiting for an hour and you're thinking, but my appointment, isn't anyone paying attention? And sometimes we feel like that with God. God, it's my turn. I've been praying. You know, are you off busy with someone else in another waiting room? God is with you in the room, in the waiting room. God has not left the building. God is not too busy for your dreams or even your losses, your griefs. God is present in the waiting. Jesus is with us in this wilderness, even as we have to let go of our sense of control, which can be one of the hardest parts of the Lent season. Not taking things into our own hands, but following as Jesus did the leadership of the Spirit, even in the wilderness. So God is present in the waiting. His power and his majesty hasn't gone anywhere. God's goodness is still very much alive. We will wait upon the Lord. In his presence is fullness of joy. Our strength will be restored when we wait upon the Lord. God is good. The psalmist reminds us over and over again, verse 3, none who wait for the Lord will be ashamed. None who put their hope in the Lord will be ashamed. I think it's worth repeating again. None who put their hope in the Lord will be ashamed. Is that your fear this morning? If you lean into the Lord in whatever situation it is, that he's not going to catch you. He's not going to be there for you. Like a trust fall where the person doesn't show up when you fall, when you put their trust in them. That's not who our God is. That's not who we know in Scripture our God to be. Verse 8, good and upright, loving and compassionate are your ways, O God. And verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth. All the paths of the Lord for your life as well are loving kindness and truth. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And maybe that's an encouragement for this Lent season for you, is to do a journey through Scripture on God's goodness. You'll see verse after verse, if you just look up goodness and good, you'll see over and over again the way God is declared good and loving kind. And in the season of waiting, it's a choice to trust in that goodness, to trust in the plan that you can't see. As Jesus said in Luke 18, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. God's nature hasn't changed since the psalmist cried out to him in trust in the midst of his own wilderness season. He hasn't changed his ways. He's not more occupied with someone else's story or dreams or the promises he's given to someone else. So the psalmist would encourage us this morning. How do we wait? Praising. And how do we praise in the midst of difficulty? Because we know that ultimately God is good. I want to end with this scripture in Isaiah that many of us know so well, but I think we forget is written by the people of God in a time of great difficulty. Isaiah 40, 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases their power. Though youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall, those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not be weary. May we trust in the Lord in this season. Let me pray for us. Father, we bring to you any areas this morning that do feel like a wilderness to us. As we approach this one-year anniversary of one of the most difficult years in many of our lives and in our country, we thank you, Father, that you have not abandoned your people, that you are still alive and working around us in your great goodness and loving kindness, and that those who put their trust in the Lord will not be ashamed. Help us, Father, to trust, fall back into your arms. Help us to let go of control in this season of things that we wish had been different, things we wish would be, and to have faith that you're still working. We thank you, Father, that you went through the wilderness before us, that you're giving us an example to follow, and that on the other side of it is your goodness and loving kindness and us being made more into the image of Christ for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.